David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. They must have had a church like Big Branch in Psalm 122. I think it was Psalm 122. I don't know. I was at a show choir tournament till midnight last night. I know what all the show choirs wore, but I don't know where that verse was just now. the scriptures are going to be on the screen. You may just want to look at them, because finding Hosea in a Bible is kind of hard. If you have a smartphone, it's way easier with a Bible app or up on the screens, because they're awesome up there too. I'm going to confess to you, I've been preaching God's Word for 15 years now, and I had never read the story of Hosea until about 4 years ago. Now, don't you look down your judgmental noses at me. I'll throw a hymnal at you if we had hymnals. Do we have hymnals? Good. Praise the Lord. We'll find a hymnal and throw it at you. Don't judge me like that, though, because maybe you've not read it either, because it's in those parts, it's in that part of the Bible where it's like Habakkuk, Haggai, Hosea, something called Obadiah. Sounds like something you'd have removed at the doctor, you know. I sprained my Obadiah, and I got to get it removed. And I can see Michael for that, right? See that? But I want to talk about Hosea this morning. And it's okay if you don't know this story. I'm going to tell you the story. Hosea was a prophet. And so that's like the really cool part. He's a prophet. You know, there's prophets in the Bible. You know about prophets, I'm sure. And we'll name some of them here in just a second. But there's another part to this story. You got the prophet, which is like that's the cool part. He's the prophet, Hosea. And there's also a prostitute in this story. And it's weird. So this morning I'm going to preach on a prophet and a prostitute. And it's all in the Bible, so don't get nervous about anything. So this story is about marriage. It's about marriage, and it's about unconditional love, which any of you know, if you're going to have a good marriage, it's got to be unconditional love, right? Because he's going to mess up, ladies, right? Every hour, right? So it's about marriage, it's about unconditional love, it's about mercy, it's about forgiveness, it's about grace, it's about, you talk about messy grace, that's one of my favorite phrases of all time, is pastor's phrase, messy grace, because sometimes grace comes in messy situations and we need messy grace. How many of you have ever needed messy grace in your life? I have. So let's look at the number one, the prophet. Number one, we're going to look at the prophet in this story, and his name is Hosea. And if you look in chapter 1, verse number 2, it says, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said to Hosea. So we see right there, he's a prophet, right? He's like the Billy Graham of his day. He's like the Charles Stanley of his day. He's like the Stephen Furtick of his day, all right? He's the man, all right? He's God's man. If you know anything about prophets, they were the man of God. And Hosea wound up being a prophet for 50 years. That's a long ministry. And you've heard of other prophets like Daniel and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah. And those are the big ones, you know, not to mention like the Obadiahs and Habakkuks and Haggai's and Zephaniah's and all those. But you know the big ones, right? Daniel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, the big ones. And so what a prophet did, anytime that God, because they didn't have like, you know, a full Bible like what we got. So anytime God was going to speak, he would speak the word of God through the man of God who was the prophet. So God would speak through the prophet. And he was the visible representation of God. And he would speak the word of God as received directly from God. So he was very well known, and often during the Old Testament days, the message that they would speak would be a message of repentance, because they were always turning their back on God, the people were, and they would preach messages of condemnation, And they would, I mean, that's just, you know, it was a wicked day, and they were always turning their backs on God. So he was a well-known man. So he had a calling. It was to do all that, to be the visible word of God, the spoken word of God. That was his calling. But he also had a command. And his command, like, how many of you like the command, go into all the world and preach the gospel? That's a good command, right? That's a good command. How many of you like the command of bear each other's burdens? That's a good command, right? How many of you like the command of pray without ceasing? That's a good command, right? You say, did Hosea get those commands? No, his was a little different. He had a calling and he had a command. Look at verse 2 again. This is the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, here's his command. Go take unto you a wife. And he probably got excited about that. He probably got excited. He's like, yeah! A woman! Yeah. How you doing, eh? You know. So he probably got all worked up. He's like, yeah! Been doing this ministry thing a while. I'm getting lonely. And I get that woman. I mean, there's all kinds of personalities that come out. Just bear with me. So he probably thought, wow, I get a woman. He's probably thinking, man, I get a woman. So he says, go take unto you a wife of whoredoms. And there's going to be children of whoredoms. For the land has committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So this is the prophet, man. This is Stephen Furtick. This is Billy Graham. This is Charles Stanley. He's got a calling on his life. And then God gives him a command. I want you to go marry a prostitute. I want you to marry a harlot. And I could say some other words. I'm just not going to do that. The Bible said it. I don't know if she was a present prostitute in this moment, or a recovering prostitute. But I know she was going to be a future prostitute while married to him. Most biblical scholars believe that she was a current prostitute in the moment. And can you imagine? Now this is Billy Graham. This is Charles Stanley. This is Stephen Furtick. Can you imagine? He's finally excited to get a wife, and he's probably like, "What God did you? What God did? My service isn't good, God. What did you say? Marry a I'm Billy Graham." He's probably thinking, God, there's this beautiful girl in the First Baptist of Jerusalem choir. I'd rather marry her. Her dad's a deacon. And I'm willing to overlook it. That's a deacon joke. You'll get that later. God, there's this woman that runs the fruit stand down at the market, and man, she's just sweet and all things nice, and she's just wonderful. God, let me marry her. Let me marry the girl in the choir at First Baptist Jerusalem. God, if anybody but this prostitute, God. But God said, no, I want you to marry this prostitute. I don't know that I'd be okay with that. I mean, this is wild. So we see the prophet, but now let's look at the prostitute. So he's probably like, okay, God, I mean, you know I'm Billy Graham, and you're going to make me marry a prostitute. She doesn't even go to church. She didn't grow up in Awana's God. You know that, right? All right, God, what's her name? I mean, is her name like Amelia, because that's a real popular girl's name nowadays. Is her name Olivia? Is it Ava? Is it Isabella? Because those are like the top four names. I don't know why I know that, but I know that. What's her name, God? God says,
her name is Gomer.
Hosea's probably like, Jesus, take the wheel. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking Andy Griffith show right now, you know? Golly! I mean, you're probably thinking Gomer Pyle. Shazam! I mean, you're probably thinking all that. He's like, sorry, so God, you want me to marry a prostitute and her name's Gomer? This is way better than Netflix right now. This is way better than Netflix. It really is. So let's look at Gomer's lifestyle. Look at verse 2. He said, go take unto you a wife of whoredoms, and there's going to be children of whoredoms. So verse 3, so he went and took Gomer, God help him, he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. So you see her lifestyle. She's a prostitute. There's no getting around it. She's a harlot. Those are fancy words for what she is. That's what she is. So you see the prophet, you see the prostitute, you see her lifestyle. But it says that, I mean, they're going to try and make it work. Look at verse 3. He went and took Gomer to be his wife. I mean, she needed a good godly man, right? Four of you think so. She needed a good godly man, right? I mean, prostitutes need to be married to good godly people, and they need to stop being prostitutes, right? It's like a working relationship, right? So it says, she conceived and bare him a son. So maybe this is like the start of something new, right? This is good. She's like off the streets, right? She's making good choices. She's got a good relationship in her life. And God blesses her with maybe the man of her dreams. And she's got a child now. And so you see her lifestyle. She's a prostitute, but she's trying to get right. And we're all trying to get right, right? So she's trying to get right. You see her lifestyle, but I want you to notice her lust. So she marries Hosea. They have a kid, right? Are you keeping up? You got this? Look at verse number 6. Well, it says in verse 4, and the Lord said unto him, call his name, the son between Hosea and Gomer, call his name Jezreel. Jezreel, you know what that name means? It means God sows. God produces. So that's a good name, right? God produced that. God blessed that. Let's look at verse 6, though. And she conceived again. But there's no mention of Hosea. Doesn't say she bare him a daughter. Doesn't say she bare him a child. It says she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Loruhamah, for I will have no mercy upon the house of Israel. You know what that name Loruhamah means? It means no mercy. No mercy. Look at verse 8. Now when she had weaned Loruhamah, she conceived again and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. You know what that name Lo-Ami means? It means not my people. I don't know if you see what I see. Her first child, the scripture mentions, was with Hosea. But the next two, you don't find Hosea's name attached at all. And you find God's displeasure stamped upon these two births. I saw her lifestyle. She was a prostitute, but she was trying to make it right and recover. Now I see her lust. She fell back into some of her old ways and old habits. But now let's look at her leaving. You saw her lifestyle, her lust. Let's look at her leaving. Look at chapter 2, verse 5. For their mother has played the harlot. She that conceived them has done shamefully. You say, well, they could have been all hit if they were all Hosea's kids, and it wouldn't have been shamefully, right? So that tells me there's a problem here. So it says, she that has conceived them has done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my substance, my way of living. I'm going to go after them. So you see the prophet. You see the prostitute. You saw her lifestyle, her lust. Now you see her leaving. But the next thing I want to show you is in chapter 3. You got the story, right? Everybody keeping up? Hosea, Gomer, prophet, prostitute. You got all that? We've seen the prophet, the prostitute. Now I want to look at the pursuit. Now, I'm just going to be honest. Men, if you married a girl and she did this stuff, look at me, men. It'd be pretty hard to deal with this, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it, men? Ladies, if you married a man and he did this stuff, it'd be hard to deal with him, wouldn't it? Why are the women always more vocal than the men? Good God, don't tick a woman off. Jeez. The men are like, oh. The women are like, get. I could not, I don't know that I could deal with that. That's heavy stuff. I mean, she didn't just like slip, this was. She said, okay, well, Hosea, the Billy Graham, the Charles Stanley, the Stephen Furtick of his day. He's got every right to divorce her and go after that girl that sings soprano in the First Baptist Choir at Jerusalem Baptist. We would all be on Hosea's side. We would. Everybody, we'd be like, Hosea, you deserve better. That's awful what she did to you, Hosea. Hosea, I'm going to fix you up with my cousin. I mean, that's what all you ladies would do. Y'all are all about fixing people up. All about it. So all you women would be fixing Hosea up with your cousins and your co-workers. You would. I know how you are. You would. You say, well, he's got grounds for divorce. Don't ever forget that God does hate divorce, whether you have grounds or not. And God always wants peace. God always wants forgiveness. God always wants mercy. God always wants love. He wants these things to prevail. He really does. He really does. And so, let's look here. We've seen the prophet. We've seen the prostitute. Now let's look at the pursuit. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman, Gomer, beloved of her friends, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel who look to other gods and love flagons, big containers of wine. This is wild. God says, hey, I know I called you and commanded you to marry a prostitute. I know what she did. She had at least 2 kids with other guys. But I want you to go keep loving her. I want you to go find her. I know she left. And I know she had lust. And I know what her lifestyle was. But I want you to keep loving her. And I want you to go. I want you, Billy Graham, you, Charles Stanley, you, Stephen Furtick, I want you to go find her. She wasn't looking for him. Did you catch that? She said, I want you to go find her. I want you to imagine this scene. Imagine the prophet. Imagine him going to where, I mean, like, prostitutes, they didn't hang out in the good parts of town. So imagine this prophet going to the worst parts of town looking for his wife. Can you imagine that? It'd be like Billy Graham going to the worst part of town looking for Ruth, his wife. But just imagine that. Imagine him having to go to the slums of town and walk up to pimps and low characters and evil people. The prophet, Billy Graham, Charles Stanley, Stephen Furtick, walking up am like, hey, have you seen my wife? And they're probably thinking, what in the world are you doing here? Wives don't hang out here. Prophets don't hang out here. Prophets shouldn't hang out here. You imagine what he had to go through walking up to people like that? I'm looking, have you seen my wife? I'm looking for my wife. Have you seen my wife? Has anybody seen my wife? Has anybody seen my wife? Who's your wife? Gomer. That's not where you laugh. Don't laugh there. He may be asking people that had been with his wife. And imagine them, and they're probably like, oh, man. Dude, I didn't know she was your wife. She's over on the next corner. Can you imagine him having to leave? I mean, he may have had an office in the temple or the synagogue and read commentaries all day long. We don't know. Can you imagine him like having to leave that comfortable lifestyle that the prophet had and having to go to the worst parts of town to look for his wife who he knew was selling her body out? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? But you know what? I mean, she wasn't at the Target. She wasn't at the Kroger. She wasn't at Kohl's using her Kohl's cash. She was on street corners selling her body. And he left his comfortable situation to go to uncomfortable situations to look for her, to find her. Can I tell you something? That's the same thing Jesus Christ did for us. He left heaven to come to a mud ball called earth, to walk amongst his own creation, to be rejected, ridiculed, mocked, beaten, scorned, betrayed, put down, pressed down, died, buried, rose again, left heaven, walls of jasper, gates of pearl, streets of gold, mansions, left all that to come and look for you and I, to pursue you and I, to chase you and I, to save you and I, to redeem you and I. What a Savior! Keep in mind what John says, the Word, Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Keep in mind that the Bible says he was made a little lower than the angels. He's a pursuing Savior. He left heaven to come find you and I. What a Savior. Isn't that beautiful? So I see the prophet. I see the prostitute. I see the pursuit. But now I want to show you the price. Look in the very next verse. So Hosea says, so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for a homer of barley and half a homer of barley. That's wheat. So he says, I bought her. Why did he have to buy her? I mean, I know women are expensive, but that's a different thing. Why did he buy her? Why did he say, he says, so I bought her to myself? Well, I thought he was just going to look for the what you read into that is that she's now become a slave. And he had to buy her from somebody. Either the pimp or the people that was controlling her, or even on the open sex slave market. And can you imagine? Can you just imagine him coming to that part of town and maybe even seeing that on display? Imagine him having to see the woman that he married, that he tried his best to love and help her have a new life, and have to see her like that. Most of us would have been like, you know what? Forget it. just, you know what? You made your bed, now you got to lie in it. You're getting exactly what you, I gave you chance after chance after chance. Just forget it. I didn't sign up for this. I can't take this. That's what most of us would do. We just walk away and deal. But imagine her. Do you think she wanted to, you think she wanted him to see her like that? Do you think, imagine her when she saw him. She's probably thinking, oh my God. Why did I do this to him? Why did I let him down? He was the best thing that ever happened to me. He gave me a new life. He accepted me when I was dirty. He accepted me when I was broken. He took me knowing all my baggage and loved me anyway. Why did I go back? Why am I doing this to him? She may have wanted him to just go because she didn't feel worthy of him. You ever think about that? You ever think about that? And she's probably thinking in her mind, boy, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And so, Hosea said, now keep in mind, he paid 15 pieces of silver for her and then a bunch of wheat and grain. The average going price for a slave was 30 pieces of silver. You say, why didn't he give 30 pieces of silver? Why did he only give 15 and he threw in grain and wheat? I would say that's all he had. I'd say if he had 50, he would have given 50. But he gave 15 because I'm just going to leology. I think that's all he had. I think he gave all that he had to get her back. Hey, can I tell you something? Somebody loved us enough to give all they had. Somebody loved us enough. He was beaten beyond recognition. They plucked his beard from his face. They didn't shave him. They literally plucked his beard out of his face. They hit him over and over with their fists. They put a crown of thorns like that upon his head, pressed it down. Blood came down. They made a whip, and the whip was had all these leather thongs that came out at the end of the whip, and at the end of each leather strand, they attached bone and glass and pottery and broken sharp objects so that every time that they took that whip and they whipped him, that all that stuff would lodge into his back. And so when they would pull it back, it would rip out flesh and cartilage. And 39 times they did that to him. They drove nails, spikes in his hands and his feet. They deprived him of substance. He died for us. He was buried for us. And he rose again for us. He gave all that he had to purchase us, to redeem us, to claim us, to save us. How much more should we love him because of that? He gave it all. So you see the prophet, you see the prostitute, you see the pursuit, you see the price. Hosea gave all to buy her back. To redeem her back. Christ gave all to buy us back, redeem us back. Reminds me of the story of a little boy. He got a model sailboat kit for Christmas. And he made a sailboat, not like a big sail, but like a little sailboat. He made a sailboat. He crafted that thing, built that thing, painted that thing, and really spent time on it. And he took it out to the water. He was going to play with the sailboat there at the lake. And he put the boat in the water, and it sailed. Like, literally sailed away. Like, he sailed away. And he didn't see that coming. He didn't see it coming. He was going to lose his boat. And he's a kid. And so he gets upset about that. And he goes home, and his mom says, hey, how'd it go with your sailboat? He said, awful. She said, why? Didn't it sail? He said, no, it sailed too good. It's gone. And so like a week or two later, he was walking through town, and there was like this thrift antique shop, and he saw the sailboat in the window. He thought, that's my sailboat. That's my sailboat. That's the sailboat I made. That's the color I painted it. And that's my, I made that. I made that. That's my craft. I did that. That's my etchings. And that's my sailboat. So he went in the store and he just picked up that sailboat and he just started to walk out with it. And the owner was like, hey. He said, what? He said, son, you got to pay for that. He said, oh, no, mister, this is my sailboat. I made this sailboat. Look, these etchings, I did that. I painted it this color. This is my sailboat. I said, I lost it when I said it, but it's my sailboat. So I'm going to take it back. He said, no, you can't take that back. He said, it's mine now. And if you want it, you're going to have to buy it. He said, but I made it. It's my sailboat. He said, you've got to buy it, son. The kid didn't have any money. So for the next several weeks to even a month, he did everything he could do. He worked, did odd jobs, did chores, to get money. And he took that money back to that shop and he bought that sailboat. And as he walked away, he was holding onto that sailboat, talking to him. He said, I love you, sailboat. He said, not only did I make you, but I bought you. Can I tell you something? God wants to hold on to us. He said, not only did I make you, but I bought you with the blood of my son. I love you. I made you. And I bought you. I redeemed you. Boy, I tell you something. There's a prophet. There's a prostitute. But there's a pursuit. And there's a price. Amen. Lastly, I'm almost done. Hang on. I'm going to show you the picture. The overall picture. All right? Look at verse 3. And I, Hosea, I said unto her, Gomer, you shall stay with me many days, and you shall not play the harlot anymore, and you shall not be for another man, so will I also be for you. I see new vows. I see new promises. I see a picture here. I see a picture, and you know what? From what I can tell, she never did this again. I don't see that she ever did this again, at least in Scripture. And here's the picture. Can you come play softly? Just play softly, please. I see a picture. Gomer turned on Hosea. And that's part of a bigger picture of how Israel turned on God. But I see that God never gave up. Do you see that? Matter of fact, Jesus would quote this later on in Matthew when he was talking about when Matthew got saved and those stuck-up religious fuddy-duds, those Pharisees, they said, why does your master eat with sinners? He said, hey, they that be whole need not a physician. I've come to seek and save the lost. And he quotes Hosea when he says, I desired not sacrifice, but mercy. God's all about mercy. We love God's mercy and grace for ourselves. But for everybody else, we want his wrath and condemnation and judgment and for the earth to open up and swallow him whole. Don't we? That's what we want. We want all the good, mushy stuff from God for ourselves and the people we like. But for everybody else, send them to hell, God. We love vertical forgiveness, but we don't like horizontal forgiveness. We don't. We really don't. And so here's what I see in this story. You say, who is, here's the overall picture. Who is Hosea? Hosea is Jesus. You say, who's Gomer? Gomer's us. Gomer's me. Gomer's you. Gomer's us. Oh my gosh, we cheat on God all the time. Don't we? We're unfaithful to God all the time. We turn our back on God all the time. All the time. That word Hosea, you know what his name means? His name means salvation. Well, that's what Jesus is. Amen. Do you know what Gomer's name means? It means completion. God had that name assigned to her because he knew one day she would be complete in Hosea and God. So you know what? Hosea did a whole lot for Gomer. It's like God's done a whole lot for us. You know, nobody has to tell God to love us. Nobody has to remind God to love us. You know, it's like, you know, you've got kids. Well, you have kids, you got grandkids. Nobody has to tell me to love my kids. I just love them. It's like John 3:16. For God, it doesn't say God loved the world. It says God so loved the world. That's different. It doesn't say God loved the world. Like, it doesn't say just God loved the world. It says God so loved the world. God so loved the world. You know, I brought these to use this morning. When she's taken the past 2 years off, but when my Ellie played soccer, this was her team, United Soccer. Check that out. Ellie's dad. Say, why would you wear a shirt that says Ellie's dad on the back? Because I so love my Ellie. And my Lena, most of you know she's in show choir at Cabell Midland. And that's where I'm at until midnights on Saturdays, not bars, high schools. On the back of her show choir shirt, it says Lena's dad. Say, why would you wear shirts that say Lena's dad, Ellie? Because I so love my girl. And when you so love somebody, you just forgive, you love, and you just stick it out. You know, God so loves us. God so loves us. Why does he forgive me when I fall? Because he so loves us. I've said it before, a lot of people say, I can't believe God would save me knowing what all I'd done. I can't believe God would save me knowing what I was going to do after he saved me. Somebody help me. You say, why does he keep forgiving me? Because he so loves me. Why does he keep putting up with me? Because he so loves me. Why does he still loves me? Listen, God may not, I don't know, God may have a shirt up in heaven that says Lee's dad. I don't know, he might. He might. You don't know that. But let me tell you what he did do, whether he's got the shirt or not. He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He said, I'll never blot it out. I'll never erase it. You're going to be my child. I'm going to be your father. He said, listen, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He so loves us. So, this morning, I don't know who you are in that story. I'm pretty much the prostitute. And you, that sounded weird, I know, but that's me. Is that you? Because I'm looking at you're not the prophet, trust me. So I don't know about you. I'm just thankful that God so loves me. Hosea didn't give up on Gomer. He had every right to give up on Gomer. But he didn't. He loved her. He so loved her. And God so loves us. Maybe you're here today and you're away from God. Run back to God. Let God run to you. Hosea ran to her. God's here. God's running to you. The prodigal son's dad ran to him. God can run. You know that? God will run to you. Won't you let that happen? If you're here today, you guys go ahead and sing if you want. If you're here today and you need Christ, you need to come back. Maybe you've turned back to some of your old ways. God loves you. God loves you. God already knew everything you were going to do when he saved you anyway, and he still saved you. Think about that. That just blew some people's theology. God knew everything you were going to do before he saved you, and he still saved you anyway. Run back to him. We're going to sing in this area. So if you want to come pray, maybe you just want to come and thank him for his crazy, amazing love and his messy grace. That's what I thank him for regularly. The altar area is open. You want to come pray? You come pray.
Oh, you call me out of darkness. You silence every lie. And no other voice will define me, as I belong to you. Belong to you. You call me out of darkness. You silence every lie. And no other voice will define me, 'cause I belong to you. I belong to you. You know the enemy can take what I have, change who I am, 'cause I belong to you. You know the enemy can take what I have, change who I am. I belong to you. By your blood I've been adopted. I've taken on your name. I need to be, and I need to be reminded that I belong to you. The enemy can take what I have, change who I am. I belong to you. You know the enemy can take what I have, change who I am. I belong to you. Stronger than the curse, greater are you who's in me than he who's in the world. The words you have spoken are stronger than the curse, stronger than the curse. Take what I have, change who I am. I belong to you. Yeah. You know the enemy can take what I have. No, change who I am. I belong to you. I belong to you.
Wow.